This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, a Greene County farmer and her agronomist will be recognized at the Commodity Classic in Anaheim, California later this month. Maria Cox farms with her family near Whitehall and has been working with Kyle Lake of CHS in Carrollton to implement conservation practices on her acres. Together, they've been named National 4R Advocates by the Fertilizer Institute. When I asked Kyle about the work they've been doing, he said Maria is always up for trying something new.
I've been working with Maria Cox at Cox Land and Cattle up here in Whitehall, Illinois. They're a customer of mine. I've been a customer of mine since 2006 when I came on to CHS in the salesman role. And we've been implementing different things. Maria's really into trying new things on their farm to see what works best for them. And this past 2 years, we've been looking at doing cover crops. And this past fall, we looked at doing strip-till on their farm. And with that, you know, it's brought a lot to the table for their farm. You know, we're always looking at trying to control erosions, try to increase yields, try to do what's right for the soil and for what's right for their farm. With the 4R program, it's all about putting the right product on at the right rate, at the right time, and put it in the right spot. So with that, we've been doing variable rate fertilizer applications. We use their yield data that is gathered from their yield monitor to put replacement fertilizer on in those areas. And then we also implement the credit that they get from manure applications off the livestock that they raise on their farm. So there's all sorts of things that go into this 4R program that we've been doing.
Well, it's really great, and all of those different practices that you've been helping the Coxes use on their farm have led you both to being recognized nationally with the 4R Advocate Award. So, Kyle, that's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Yes, it is. You know, the thing is, you know, we implement this. We try doing it on as many farms as we can. If we don't do what's right for the land, you know, the Gulf of Mexico kind of takes the blunt of nutrients that don't stay on the land that we don't use. So we just more or less tried doing what's right for the agricultural community.
I also had the chance to visit with Maria herself. She recently spoke about her cover crops at an Upper Macoupin Creek watershed meeting, so I got the story behind the family farm and why they started trying new things.
I'm a sixth-generation farmer in Greene County. I farm with my parents near Whitehall, and we farm about 3,000 acres with 10 different landlords and have a cow-calf business with a landlord. We've also been feeding out cattle for about 10 years and have a hay business. So we're pretty diversified still.
Yeah, sounds great. Really enjoyed your presentation, and it's always fun to visit with people that come from family farms and to hear about how that's been passed on. So I thought it was interesting about you. You recently came back to the farm. That's not where you started out. You went to college. So talk to us a little bit about the careers you've had.
Okay. I went to college at the University of Illinois in Champaign and studied ag business. And I worked in the ag industry for a year. Then I went back to graduate school at Purdue University and studied ag economics. After that, I lived in a couple different states. I worked in the crop insurance business, and I moved back to Greene County in 2012.
So it's a pretty unique opportunity, I guess, to be able to come back to the home farm, and I think something that a lot of people would envy you for. Some have that opportunity, some don't. So how did that happen? How did you stop working and stop doing what you're doing and get to come home?
That's a good question. In February 2012, I was living in Iowa, and I was enjoying my job. And at that point, I had a couple conversations with people, and mainly my parents, and I decided that I had the opportunity then to come back and farm with my family and be the sixth generation, and I would not have that opportunity 20 years from now. So anyway, I decided to take a risk, and I figured that I had job experience and education, and I could always do something else if I didn't like farming. But thankfully, farming worked out, and I just started my sixth year farming with my family.
Well, so happy that that's worked out for you, and I know it's been a learning experience, and the reason that you were here at the Upper Macoupin Creek Watershed meeting was to talk about cover crops on your farm, and that's something not only new for you, but new for your dad, who's been doing this for decades. So tell us how many years you've been using cover crops now, and what were some of the first ones that you planted, and how that's worked out for you guys.
This is my sixth year of farming, and this is my dad's 49th year of farming, and this is our second year with cover crops. In 2016, we planted about 25% of our acres to cover crops. It was all cereal rye. And in 2017, we seeded 75% of our acres to cover crops. Most of it was cereal rye, but we also planted some oat and radish mixes.
So that had to be kind of intimidating if you'd never done that before. What was your reason for trying out the cover crops?
The reason that we tried cover crops was mainly due to some erosion problems that we had in 2015. We started chopping silage in 2015, and after that we had some erosion that winter, and the next year we decided we didn't want to have any more erosion problems. So erosion was the main reason. Erosion control was the main reason that we started with cover crops. But we've seen, you know, several short-term benefits since then.
Tell us about some of those benefits.
Okay, I'd say obviously erosion would be the big one. My dad likes to say that cover crops pay for themselves just because of the erosion control. We've also seen some weed control benefits, meaning we don't have to do an extra spray pass, and we also have less weed pressure. We've also seen a lot more biological activity with earthworms, and also one of the big things would be alleviating compaction. The roots can go down deeper than a tillage tool will. So we've seen some reduced compaction short term. We believe in some long-term benefits too, but like I said, this is just our second full year, so we only can see short-term benefits right now.
Sure, totally understandable, and I'm sure you are going to see some long-term benefits if you've seen that much already in just 2 years. I think this is a great story. You said your dad's been farming for 49 years, and he just decided to try this 2 years ago. So it stands to reason that you can try new things. I mean, what would you say to those farmers that are maybe scared or are timid about trying cover crops? They've never done it. What's your message to them?
Well, like I told the group tonight, if you're interested in cover crops, you just need to try it. You know, give it a couple years. And if you have a bad experience, then you can always go back to tillage. But my dad, this is, you know, like I said, this is his 49th year of farming, and he is more excited about cover crops than anything that any practice that he's done in his farming career. So I think that speaks volumes.
Yes, I think it does too. How are things on the farm in Greene County? What are you guys working on? Are you preparing for spring, or what's going on?
Well, last week we shipped out some cattle to Garden City, Kansas. We background cattle here in Greene County and feed them out in Garden City. So we moved some cattle out there last week. We're getting some more cattle in next week. We've got our air seeder prepped and ready to go for spring. Currently working on our planter, corn planter, and, you know, typical winter book work. And probably the last thing we're working on is we move a lot of hay during the winter, so I've been selling lots of hay the past couple months.
Maria Cox, a farmer from Whitehall in Greene County, and you can follow Maria on Twitter at Maria Cox Farm, or visit her website and Facebook page, Cox Land and Cattle. A friendly reminder that CNB Bank and Trust is hosting farm succession planning meetings this month. Call 217-854-4215 to register, or visit cnbil.com. And the Illinois Pork Expo is happening today and tomorrow at the Bank of Springfield Center in Springfield. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.